I had seen a dawn like this one only twice in my life. Once in Vietnam, after a bouncing Betty had risen from the earth on a night trail and twisted its tentacles of light around my thighs, and years earlier outside of Franklin, Louisiana, when my father and I discovered the body of a labor organizer who had been crucified with 16-penny nails, ankle and wrist, against a barn wall. Just before the sun broke above the gulf's rim, the wind, which had blown the waves with ropes of foam all night, suddenly died, and the sky became as white and brightly grained as polished bone, as though all color had been bled out of the air, and the gulls that had swooped and glided over my wake lifted into the haze, and the swells flattened into an undulating sheet of liquid tin, dimpled by the leathery backs of stingrays. The eastern horizon was strung with rain clouds, and the sun should have risen out of the water like a mist-shrouded egg yolk, but it didn't. Its red light mushroomed along the horizon, then rose into the sky in a cross, burning in the center, as though fire were trying to take the shape of a man, and the water turned the heavy dark color of blood. Maybe the strange light at dawn was only coincidence and had nothing to do with the return to New Iberia of Megan Flynn, who, like a sin we'd concealed in the confessional, vexed our conscience, or worse, rekindled our envy. But I knew in my heart it wasn't coincidence, no more so than the fact that the man crucified against the barn wall was Megan's father, and that Megan herself was waiting for me at my dock and bait shop 15 miles south of New Iberia, when Cleet Purcell, my old homicide partner from the First District of New Orleans, and I cut the engines on my cabin cruiser and floated through the hyacinths on our wake, the mud billowing in clouds that were as bright as yellow paint under the stern. It was sprinkling now, and she wore an orange silk shirt and khaki slacks and sandals, her funny straw hat spotted with rain, her hair dark red against the gloom of the day, her face glowing with a smile that was like a thorn in the heart. Cleet stood by the gunwale and looked at her and puckered his mouth. "Wow," he said under his breath. She was one of those rare women.